WKXL 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, our brand new signal, nhtalkradio.com. Don't forget about that. It is In Touch with Kale and Cormier. Great to have you along with us today. And Jane?
Yes.
How about introducing our special guest today?
I would love to do that, Mr. Kale.
Thank you.
So our guest today is someone that has been really such an integral part of the community with her work at Concord Community Music School. And Catherine Southworth has been someone that I've known certainly, 30 years?
Let's not count too far back, Jane.
I think close to 30, if I'm correct.
You're probably right.
And we've done just about everything we could do in the musical stage together, whether that was a Broadway musical, whether it was opera, whether it's song literature in the musical world. And so it's a thrill to have you with us today, Kathy.
Thank you so much for inviting me. This is delightful.
This is a pleasure. I mean, this is like old home week for me. We had Alison Messier on. For our last show. Yes.
That's fantastic.
And, of course, Alison was a resident in Manchester, young opera singer, and has this thriving, you know, business that she runs as a singer.
Yes.
And really very different, you know, not an opera singer per se. Does a little bit of everything. But I wanted to bring her on, and now here you are, and you played with Alison, too, when she was but a babe.
I did indeed. You're making me feel older and older, Jane.
Oh, I'm right there with you, Kathy.
Is this a good idea? I don't know.
You're here to tell us, I would assume, news from Concord Community Music School.
There's a lot to tell. So our founder and director, Peggy Center, finally retired after 37 years
summer. Oh, my gosh, really?
A sea change.
Okay.
And what we just see is the legacy that she's left behind. Wonderful faculty, mission, just being worked every single day. And we have so much to be grateful for that the institution can go forward because of all the work.
Oh, my gosh.
That she
does. It grew so much under Peggy. The
absolutely.
School just
absolutely
tripled.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know? Great. Well, is she on the board still?
She's not on the board.
No?
I think once you retire, they kind of want you to go away.
Really?
Now, I say that somewhat facetiously.
Okay.
But not completely, actually. Peggy is still continuing some of the development work because she was deeply involved in that. So I'm being
sure.
a little bit facetious. But
she,
for one thing, deserves her retirement.
Yeah.
So I try not to bug her
there you go.
Too much.
There is that bridge, though, isn't there?
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. She actually attended a concert and a lecture.
Cool.
That we had in the past few weeks. So, and her gift from us was lifetime free lessons at the music school.
Oh, my goodness, really?
Because Peggy was a wonderful pianist, but she's taken voice lessons for years.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's she just loves to learn, like so many musicians and teachers do.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
So
how has that changed your position at the school?
Not really, except that I often think, what would Peggy do?
Yeah.
You know, in this situation, I've learned so much about how to work with other faculty, with colleagues, how to work with students, how to work with student families.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you just carry that with you. You know, Peggy taught me a lot when I first started at the music school.
Sure.
As a very inexperienced piano teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And she had wonderful pedagogy training and was very happy to share the things that worked well.
Yeah.
Which not everybody is willing to do.
Yes.
But she... She's always a keep learning, keep growing.
Right.
You know, that's something that I carry with me as a teacher.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Kathy, what takes place at the Concord Community Music School?
How much time do you have?
Oh, we have plenty of time. We have all the time in the world right
so
here.
If
in
I,
touch.
If I can just give you a tiny bit of history, because I think it's really important. The music school, the Concord Community Music School, and our sister schools, Manchester Community Music School, Upper Valley Music Center, PMAC, they are part of a national guild of schools of the arts. And that guild originated as the settlement school systems that started in places like New York City and Philadelphia back at the beginning of the 20th century. And the settlement schools were created to help people who were immigrating to gradually get used to being in America. Mm-hmm. So the children, they would send the children to the settlement schools. It wasn't a boarding school. I mean, it was just day school. But they would learn English, for one thing. But they would also do the arts, and they would do music. And because, you know, they had the wisdom to know that the arts help people integrate all sorts of things.
Gosh.
So that is a really wonderful history. And the Philadelphia Settlement School still exists. Uh-huh. Of course, the function is different now because the way people immigrate is different.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what the Guild came out of. And that mission of serving everybody that comes in the door is still very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So our axis in terms of mission is access and excellence. Mm-hmm. So, and excellence is different for everybody. So excellence for somebody who's really on fire about playing the clarinet might be auditioning and getting into a conservatory.
Sure.
Excellence for a child with, you know, serious autism
mm-hmm.
might be completely different.
Totally.
But that goal always stands.
So you meet people where they are.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Right. And so that's been, it's such a privilege to, you know, my office is right next to the music therapy studio. And then across from that is the jazz ensemble room.
Yeah.
So people come once a month and jam together.
Right.
Anybody. And then down the hall, we've got an a cappella group, women singers. And then, you know, on the next day, we'll have a class for people that are dealing with Parkinson's symptoms.
Yes. Cool.
So it's everything from soup to nuts. And then we have the kind of classic student recitals, which mm-hmm. are just fantastic. I mean, the kids are so great. And the teachers are great, and it's all about experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not trying to, you know, make a recording. We're not trying to, you know, audition for a conservatory.
Right.
We're just getting used to sharing our music with other people without it being a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So we do a lot of recitals. We do them all year long. We encourage students to do them regularly so that it doesn't feel like, you know, they're climbing a mountain every time they do a recital.
Right.
And, you know, that sometimes I have to say the students get a little too comfortable.
Really?
You know, we had a student playing the clarinet very well. He messed something up and he stopped and he just said, "Sorry, I choked." And then he kept going and finished brilliantly. But, you know, his teacher would probably say, "Look, don't do that at your audition."
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, right.
You know, poker face.
Yeah, right.
But it's wonderful to see them just be so comfortable.
Sure.
and trusting the audience.
Yeah.
Not feeling like they're being judged. So, and that's, you know, having, you know, like you, Jane, having attended a conservatory where it's very much the opposite.
Right.
You know.
Well, you too. That's how we cut our teeth, right?
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is different. And it's purposefully different.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. What is your position there again?
I'm called Dean of Students and Faculty.
Mm-hmm.
But I started.
You're the dean?
I'm a dean.
Oh, my
I know.
Goodness.
This was a new position created just about 5 years ago.
Cool.
Our longtime Director of Education and Community Outreach, Calvin Hurst, was at the school for, I'll try not to mess this up, Calvin, sorry. It's either 24 or 27 years.
Wow.
And before that, he was in Boston for a long time doing the same kind of work. So when he retired from that position, we restructured.
I see.
I had previously been the piano department chair because I'm a pianist. And,
right.
I was piano department chair for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I started out as just a part-time piano teacher there.
Isn't that something?
So that one of the things that the music school has done so well, and I attribute some of this to the fact that Peggy herself was a fine musician and teacher,
mm-hmm.
and she learned how to be an administrator so she could make the school.
Mm-hmm.
But she enables other musicians to grow.
Yeah.
As teachers and
obviously,
and
huh?
Yeah. Right, right. And I'm not the only person. I mean, she's just supported so many of my colleagues mm-hmm. in their journeys.
Yeah.
I feel like a very, very lucky person.
What ages are we talking about?
Well, our advertising says 6 months to 96.
Oh, my goodness.
And one of my favorite stories, because we have classes for new parents with babies, and of which my daughter was one at one point.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my favorite stories is we had a lady came in who was very earnest, and she came up to the reception desk, and she said, "I just turned 96. Am I too late?"
And,
and we said, "No, you're not. Actually, that was just advertising.
Right.
Just 6 months, 96. It worked well, you know." but, you know, we have many, many adult students. And that's one of our greatest pleasures is that people, they might have taken as children, but for whatever reasons they stopped,
mm-hmm.
or maybe they didn't stop. But they come back, and it's just pure joy and enrichment for them.
Right.
And you know, some of my adult students have even said, this is my therapy.
Yeah.
Now, this is the one thing I sit down and do every day for myself and nobody else.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really wonderful community.
Mm-hmm.
It says a lot about our New Hampshire community because people are so caring and supportive of each other.
Yeah.
And a lot of great musicians have come out of the Concord area, for sure.
They have. Yeah. We have a lot of wonderful musicians here. They're not all at the music school. But the Tall Granite Big Band just performed at the music school with guest artist Delphio Marsalis. And I've gotten to know some of those musicians. And one of them is a dad of some of our piano students. And it was just a fantastic concert. And it was, because we've all been so shut down because of the pandemic, I just sat in the back of the recital hall and watched people tapping their feet and moving and, you know, singing a little bit through their masks and, you know, and just really enjoying themselves.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, just made me so happy. It had been a long time since I'd been able to see that.
Yes.
But the band was fantastic. They were just on fire and Delphia was awesome. And so there are a lot of wonderful musicians and colleagues I have in the school and outside of the school.
Yeah.
So I think we're a very fortunate community and state. Maybe I hope people realize how much talent we have and how dedicated they are to bringing people enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. And so when does someone begin to have an appreciation? I know it probably varies from person to person, but when do you start to get an appreciation for music? Just simply listening to music.
Absolutely. You know, I think it starts so young. And, of course, there have been so many studies done on this that, you know, you think, well, why do you need to study? We get it. Children hear music and they start singing.
Mm-hmm.
I used to sing to my daughter when I was changing her clothes. Mm-hmm. And within a few weeks, she was trying to mimic the pitches I was singing. I mean, it's that basic, you know. And so that's why we have these classes and these different programs for young children and parents. Because it not only feeds the children, it feeds the parents, too.
Oh, big time.
Because how many young parents will give themselves time to just sit down and sing?
Yes.
You know, and enjoy listening to some fun music. So it starts very young. And I think the appreciation starts the minute children start to vocalize and realize that there's joy in that.
Right.
And, you know, then, you know, they keep listening to music. They keep wanting to do more with it. When you start getting a little older, you start seeing musical instruments, and that really an instrument is like an extension of your voice and your body. You know, we have two birthrights that we often ignore. One is vocalizing, singing, and the other is dancing, movement. And we don't let ourselves do those enough, in my opinion. Mm. And I think when the pandemic came around, I thought, I hope everybody does a lot of singing and dancing, even if it's out in their yard.
That's right. You know, somewhere, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But those are the most critical thing for children, and that's why music teachers, you know, really get distressed when they hear that, you know, there's no music in their child's school, you know, because it's so important to them to have that. And it's not just, I know people talk about it in terms of brain development, which is very true, but I don't actually think it's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's so holistic in how it affects us, our mental well-being and our emotional well-being.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, people, you know, especially parents today, they're two jobs, right? They're running kids everywhere. Kids today, don't forget, when we were kids, we didn't do six different activities, you know.
That's
we
right.
had like one thing maybe we did or maybe two, but now, you know, we're doing everything.
Yeah.
And I think that we lose something in that because you can't really focus on everything all at the same time.
That's right.
You
That's
know, right. so music, if we can get a youngster interested in music, certainly, like you said, the brain development, which is a truism, but the spirit development with
That's
that
right.
is, like you said, I think more important. And last lifelong,
yes.
you know, if you can develop it.
I like that description of spirit development. We see, you know, we have a children's course called Purple Finches, and they can get quite epic in size as well as, you know, their performances. It's hard to fit everybody in the room, you know, all the parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles are there, and it's really, it's pretty fantastic. But you see them very, very young coming in, and they get so engaged, not just in the singing, but there's movement involved, mm-hmm. games, learning. It's very, as I say, very holistic. And then you just see them grow. And, you know, and in a few years they say, okay, I want to take voice lessons now, or I want to take mm-hmm. piano lessons
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's a feeder system for sure.
Exactly. It's a feeder system, but it feeds the child.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, it gives them something that I think that playing a musical instrument or doing music, really, it just becomes part of your personality and part mm-hmm. of your identity.
Right.
And that's really the goal, because it's something you can have your whole life.
Right.
Most people can't. I nothing against sports. I think sports are great, even yeah. though I'm the most unathletic person in the world. But I know that most people don't play soccer in their 80s.
Right.
You know, so
right.
they might do other things in their 80s, right?
Right.
I have some good friends in their 80s that do all sorts of things.
Yes.
But the one thing they can do is sing.
Absolutely.
And
or play piano.
Exactly. Or play piano.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Play an instrument. So, and I tell my kids that at Founders all the time. You know, you guys might not really like some of the music we're singing, or you might not like to sing in chorus because you say, oh, my voice stinks, whatever. I hear that a lot from kids. And I tell them, you know what, guys, that's not what we're here for. Just have fun with it. See what you can do with it. And after you're done, you can then decide whether or not you liked it. I said, but just because it's new, you know, don't tab it as something that's you're not going to like. Give it a try. And you know what? My classes are full.
Mm-hmm.
At Founders, we, you know, I have over 50% probably of the student body in chorus.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that when youngsters are allowed to not have to be, like you said, on the mark
mm-hmm.
all the time, we're doing this to have fun
right.
and to experience that,
right.
You're going to have a good consequence. That now, it changes when you start getting out of the general education development, you know, when you start training serious musicians, the watermark changes. And, you know, but it's two different things.
It is.
One does not define the other.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the people that go on to careers, that's a very small subset.
Absolutely.
And we need that too.
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing that can happen in our culture is that people try to hold themselves to that standard.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of things that have contributed to that. We've got these vocal competitions on TV now where mm-hmm. you get to watch people, you know, say really mean things to people about their singing, which is, I think, is a terrible model. And then, you know, also, you know, since the recording industry started and the editing has gotten more and more, like,
yeah.
I like to say things are getting edited within an inch of their lives.
Sure.
You know, just, you know, I have a colleague that refers to recordings as the performance that never happened.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
because
true.
Because they're so changed after you actually do the
filtered
recording.
Or re-edited or whatever.
But this is what children are hearing.
Mm-hmm.
They're hearing recordings much more than they're hearing live performance.
Right, and isn't
that
different?
Where sometimes there's a little gravel in somebody's
yeah,
voice,
yeah.
and that makes it more interesting
mm-hmm.
because it gives character
yeah,
to what
can.
They're singing.
How about those shows? Have they been a positive influence or negative? American Idol, The Voice, The Masked Singer, you know?
I think that certainly what Kathy's saying about the fact that there's a social end to it, like a social side to it, which is it's entertainment, right? And so to make it entertaining, they can get pretty sassy, right? But I think the actual thing about the theme, about having to get up and sing, go, you know, you're on, I kind of like that. Because the adrenaline for that kid or that adult that's singing changes the whole instrument, right? And I think it's good for people that are ready, you know, that desire to do it, to have the opportunity to do that. You know, it's a challenge to get up there and have to be your best on the dime.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it entertaining,
sure.
I think.
Has it inspired more people to sing?
I think so.
Yeah, and Jane, you'd probably, because you're a voice teacher and a singer yourself, you'd probably know that better than I. But what I've seen at the music school is more and more students saying, I want to audition
yeah.
for, and I want to be able to audition for this show, and some of them have.
Yeah.
And, you know, just the audition, I mean, I think there's different tiers to
yes,
the auditions,
usually,
you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, even if you get up a few of the tiers, you know, it's
sure.
exciting. It's a way to motivate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are probably other people that see some of the meanness
mm-hmm.
and withdraw, mm-hmm. you know, and that's the... I guess that's those are the pros and cons.
Right.
Is that, you know, they don't always have someone like you, Jane, to give them perspective and say, that's okay. You're not trying to be a professional. You shouldn't be judging yourself by that standard.
Right, right.
You don't need to put yourself out there instead of 2,000 people and be tested.
Absolutely. And you can always decide if you don't want to do it now, you can try it later.
Sure.
That yeah, it exactly. doesn't. Everything doesn't exactly. have to be. And right. frequently with music, nothing is right now.
Right.
You know, no matter what you're undertaking, it takes time. It's seasons.
Right.
You have to take time to do it. And, you know, so patience at that point plays in. But we don't live in utopia. It would be nice if everybody was kind. It would be nice if everybody right. was well-meaning. But we know in ourselves, in the private, you know, life of trying to excel or get beyond,
right.
you know, in the performing world, it's not for the faint of heart.
That's right.
And you have to decide to do that, you know, if you take it on. That's part of it.
That's right. Yeah.
1450 AM, WKXL, 103.9 in the Concord area. 101.9 in Manchester and vicinity. And don't forget nhtalkradio.com, where you can hear all the past episodes of In Touch with Kaylin Cormier and other great KXL programming as well. Kathy Southworth is with us today, Dean of Students and Faculty at Concord Community Music School. Back with more right after these words. WKXL 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, and nhtalkradio.com. In Touch with Kale and Cormier, and Kathy Southworth is here. She is the Dean of Students and Faculty at Concord Community Music School, located
in Concord, New Hampshire.
At what address?
23 Wall Street.
23 Wall Street. And what kind of a space do you have? Is it a big space?
We have a very interesting space. It started out in at least in my experience, that the building kind of 3 years in a row was in different locations. and I didn't have to experience that,
yeah.
but other people did. But when I started to music school, it was the first year that we were on Wall Street, and it's in an old church building, wonderful old brick church building. Mm-hmm. And so the sanctuary became a recital hall.
Cool. I love that. I like that hall.
That hall has a nice,
I don't know what it is. You know, there are, for singers and performers that are out there, you go into spaces, and I don't know what it is, but you can kind of feel what that space is. Sometimes it's like, you know you're going to have to work this one, right? Sometimes you just go in and you know, wow, this is a nice space. And I have always felt that space was comforting.
Mm-hmm.
There's a comfort in that space.
Absolutely. It's very comforting, and the families sit together at recitals, and they look very cozy.
Yeah,
and
yeah, absolutely.
The kids look like they're home. The other half of the building was constructed, I can't remember the year, but close to 30 years ago, and that's the Fayette Street side of the building. And if you go down Fayette Street, you'll see that the park immediately on the left, and then you'll see a yellow building right behind that with an outdoor stage, and that's the newer part of the music school.
Hmm.
So that building has the recording studio and what we call our community room, where we can have our movement classes and, additional concerts. It accommodates our large singing groups and that mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Yeah.
Beautiful
room.
Yeah, it's kind of a hybrid building at this point.
Mm. And you have many public performances?
We have a lot of public performances. We normally, before the pandemic, we had something like 52 a year for student performances. And that ranged from regular student recitals, which is anyone who wants to play signs up, to department recitals, voice department recital, piano department recital, wind department recital, jazz department, percussion. So there were a lot of subsets as well to get students in those departments to learn more from each
mm-hmm.
other. And then we also, the Walker Lecture Series sponsors our faculty concerts through the Box Lunch Series, which is the first and second Thursdays of the month. There's a lecture on the first Thursday at 12:10, and then there's a concert the following week. Those are also free and open to the public.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
So many opportunities.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, that is great. Do a lot of, or many go visit Concord Community Music School and attend classes there, thinking that they may want to go on and make this their profession?
I think that there are. There are a lot of options for students that are serious. And, you know, so I think the most important thing is to find the right teacher. But for very young children, they don't often know yet.
Right.
And they have
right.
to get launched.
Yeah.
And then it becomes usually pretty apparent to the teacher, you know, how they're progressing. And then, you know, one of our responsibilities is to have the faculty that can take them there where they want to go. But even that involves, you know, and Jane knows this well, you start taking them to other teachers and master classes mm-hmm. and recommending summer camps or
right.
summer institutes. So it isn't just all about that teacher being the only focal point for that student. It's mm-hmm. it's getting them connected
Experience.
To other opportunities as right. well.
You know, in some ways it does correlate to sports, because there are a lot of people out there, you know, that when they're younger, you know, they want to, you know, be a Major League Baseball player
yep.
or, a, you know, NBA player, NHL, whatever it might be, NFL. But the fact of the matter is there is such a small percentage of athletes in general, whoever, make any money at all.
Right.
In
the
sports.
Same thing.
Yeah.
You know, that is such an apt point with my kids at school, because in Founders, it's not a music school. It's not an art school. Right. It's a history school. It's a school based on developing leadership qualities based on historical, you know, our history. And so arts play a part in that. But none of my classes are geared toward, you know, specifically, oh, you know, you sing and you're going to be a star kind of thing.
Right, right.
And the one thing I bang into their heads is, guys, we're a team. This chorus is a team. And everybody's got to pitch in, because we can't have anybody sitting on the bench. When you go out to sing, we're all on, everybody. And I think that's a good way to promote choral singing, that everybody feels like they're part of the whole. You know, and occasionally one or two will stand out, and
sure.
you know,
yeah.
you offer opportunity for those kids. But I think it's very apt, and I think that the reason a lot of my kids like me is because I like sports. And I'll tell you what, is there any difference from the baseball player that gets up to bat, you know, in the later inning, right? Base is loaded, and they have to just do it, right? Every time you get up to perform, it's the same thing. Because you're competing against your last gig. You're
yep,
competing
sure.
not against anyone
oh,
else,
yeah.
but your personal best.
Yep.
So that every time, that's that adrenaline rush of, I want to do this better than I ever did it. So it's so analogous to sports, I think.
Absolutely. And, you know, you just, the analogy you just thought of when you said that is, you know, you can get up and sing or play, and you can hit a home run,
mm-hmm.
and or you can just absolutely play your best.
That's right.
Do the best you can do in
right.
that moment.
It's all
and
the same.
It might not be as good as what you just did half an hour ago at home.
Right.
But the point is you played the game.
You did it.
You went all the way
right.
as far as you could in that moment.
Absolutely. You did it. Well, today at school, we had something called juries, right? And most public schools don't really do juries, but I've always done juries. And, of course, the kids that aren't super good at sight reading or, you know, rhythm sight reading, sweat the jury. And, you know, I get to know my students pretty well, so I know how much where each student is. So they kind of like, you know how to evaluate them fairly, right? But I tell them that all the time. Even if they didn't have a great jury, look, you did it. You came out the other side. You're living. You're smiling. You completed the assignment. You did it. You're successful, right? And it's very true what Kathy says, that, you know, whether or not you aspire to the height of whatever it is you're doing, or whether your aspiration is to just experience it within its own category, success is equal, right? The success for the one that wants to go out there and sing and have the agent, fine. That's your success. But that success is equal to the one that wants to come in and just be in a group and enjoy the singing together, right? It's, you don't have to compare them, but they're just as individually important to the person that's doing it. So,
exactly.
You know, you just have to remember that.
And you can learn a lot from your defeats.
Oh, you learn most.
Well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. You learn the most from the defeats.
I remember, and I always comes to my mind, just a line from Follies, the musical. You know, the less achievement, the less defeat.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're going to be defeated.
Yes.
Probably more times than not, in many aspects of life.
Right.
Whether it be sports or performance, you know, in the musical.
And how do you handle
sphere.
That?
Yeah.
Right. Character will decide.
Yeah.
And furthermore, to add on to that, I think we hurt our kids when we don't let them fail.
Oh, God, yes.
Because you can't develop confidence unless you can get over failure.
Absolutely.
If you're just lucky all the time and nothing bad happens and nobody lets you fail, you know, or they try to convince you that you didn't fail, that doesn't help you develop the skills, you know, to develop true confidence. Like, I failed and I lived.
Right,
it's
you
okay.
did.
You know,
and they know.
The piece,
that's right.
And I'm still alive.
Yes.
And people still smiled and clapped at me.
Right, absolutely. And I would say the sun comes up tomorrow.
Exactly.
That's never going to stop.
Exactly.
So. Yeah, no, exactly. Kathy Southworth is with us, and she is the Dean of Students and Faculty at Concord Community Music School. We're learning a lot about that great place today. And this is Kale and Cormier, Ken Kale, Jane Cormier, right here on 1450 AM, the signal that's been around now for 75 years.
Yeah, that's mind-blowing to me.
Isn't it?
Yes. I had no idea.
You know, I was looking at an old schedule of programming at WKXL recently, and there used to be a lot of live performances on this radio station.
Awesome.
There was. I remember them. Yeah. We did some, I'm sure, here along the years. I remember doing them in this studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we should bring them back. 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. Welcome back. It is Kale and Cormier. Great to have you along with us at 1450 AM WKXL, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. And all the past programming is on nhtalkradio.com, plus a live stream. You can go anywhere in the free world and hear WKXL on nhtalkradio.com.
Do you know this morning, I have to laugh. So we have something called Roundtable, and my kids might be listening to the show when it plays, so I told them I was going to talk about them today. So Roundtable is kind of like homeroom, but it's different because we really try to imbue the teachers that are, you know, into the roundtable with good characteristics and good, you know, making good choices, being kind, giving your best, you know, being the best you can be, right? And so I got a really good roundtable, real exuberant kids. I love my roundtable. And so we were outside playing today, and one of the kids mentioned something that they heard I was doing a radio program. So I'm talking to this one kid outside. Everybody's outside today because it's beautiful, right? Mm-hmm. So all the round tables are out there. And this kid comes running up and says, "Miss Cormier, you're on the radio?" I said, yeah, you know, I record a couple of shows. And, oh, my gosh, you're famous. I said, oh, yeah, no, not famous, really. But we have a lot of fun. And so they wanted to know the station and, you know, what it was on and stuff. Well, they start whipping out the phones, right? And I let them because they were in front of me. They pulled up nhtalkradio.com and they found the station and they found the program. And you would have thought, these three kids, right? You would have thought this was like New York City big time, right? I'm chuckling. And by the end of that roundtable, like 15 minutes later, almost, a bunch of kids were coming up and saying, and you know what they were doing? They were putting it out on their media, their social media.
Nice, all right.
And I was like, oh, my goodness, we're telling everybody. So I said, okay. And, you know, I didn't even think of that.
As grassroots as you can get, right?
So they're listening. So Roundtable, Cormier Roundtable, hello out there.
There you go. Hello, Cormier Roundtable. Great to have you with us. Absolutely. Great to have Kathy Southworth with us as well. Dean of Students and Faculty at Concord Community Music School. Is the piano normally the first instrument somebody will take up?
That's a really good question, because I think a lot of us who grew up with pianos, that's just logical. And so, especially if you grew up with a piano in your home,
yeah,
it's like there, like it's just part of your family life. Of course, it's the first thing. Mm-hmm. And I think some families still feel that way, especially if they had it in their lives when they were young. However, for very young children, the best things they can do are singing and dancing and getting introduced to different instruments, simple percussion instruments. We have a class called Take Three where children between the ages of 3 or 4 and 6, they have 3 segments. One is movement. One is, they call it the keyboard section, but it's not necessarily playing the piano, but they're learning about the piano. Mm-hmm. They learn how to find the black keys, and they learn one little song with one little finger, but it's getting at, because they might not have a piano at home, so they're getting acclimated to that. The third section of the class might be recorders or percussion. We've had either way, but the broader experiential thing with music is very, very helpful for children. It provides them variety, and it's a lot less pressure, if you think, okay, I'm taking piano lessons now. There's a certain amount of pressure involved in just being one-on-one with the teacher when you're very young. Mm-hmm. Some children love it. I was an introvert. I still am an introvert. So I loved being alone with my teacher and playing the piano. But for a lot of children, that's just not the right thing. So these classes where they get to experience a lot of different kinds of musical activities are a really nice way to start. Mm-hmm. And then they'll get an itch to start an instrument when they're ready. That might not be the piano. There is, of course, a hand size issue. It's hard to play the guitar when you're 3, violins and cellos can come in smaller sizes.
Ukuleles are big right now, aren't they?
They are very popular. Yeah. We've had our uke classes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a good question, but I think when we were all probably growing up, that was very logical to start with piano. Yeah.
I even took piano lessons.
Did you now?
And right. You know what? I think I took them, and I played at several recitals in my youth, but I couldn't play a note right now. I think I took them too early.
You would get it back if you practiced a little
probably.
Bit.
Probably.
You have
I
to come over
would.
To the music school and play a note. We'll prove to you that you can still play a note.
I couldn't read anything, though. I mean, right now. But I used to be, used to memorize the pieces.
Oh, my gosh.
And play them at different recitals in Melrose, Massachusetts, where I grew up.
Wow,
Mrs.
cool.
Mrs. Kendall was my piano teacher. But I think I started too early and wanted to do other things at that time. I just wanted to go out and play baseball and basketball with my friends. I wish I had taken it a little bit later.
How
in
old
life.
Were you?
I was probably 7 or 8, nine, mm-hmm. In that area. Mm-hmm. And, there were, I wasn't the only one. There were a lot of others like in that age group as well. But I just didn't keep up with it, admittedly. And I wish I had.
But I'll bet that's reinforced why you, because you really are a well-rounded person. I mean, you like musical theater. You like music. You can talk in an educated fashion with all of that. Maybe some of that came from, being exposed.
Maybe. But it was fun, but, I wanted to do,
sports.
Play Little League baseball and basketball and, that was my thing. But I wish I had taken it later in life. It probably would have stuck with me more.
Well, it's never too late, right?
It's never too late. Jane took
6 months to 96,
right? That's right. You walk into that reception area right now.
I haven't quite reached that top figure yet. It's approaching.
No.
You don't have to wait. You can have it anytime.
That's so good.
Well, what is legitimately like the oldest person that's come in or in the ball? Well, age in the ballpark.
Do you know?
Of somebody that's come in and actually just started studying music.
I might not remember his exact age, but I know he was over 100. We had a gentleman studying mandolin.
At over 100. Now, and he had never played it prior to that?
Mandolin? Isn't that a hard instrument?
I don't know if I know enough background to know what his previous experience had been. But, when we think, we have less mobility, whatever that may entail, you can start on any instrument and do very, very foundational stuff, and people find it very fulfilling.
Yeah.
I had it taught a lady for many years who was a master gardener. She had these incredible hands from working outside in the garden. She had an amazing garden. And, she and you know, her playing was always quite labored. I mean, the way she was used to using her hands.
Works hard.
Yeah, it was. It's just a very different kind of hand work. But that didn't matter to her. It was that, you know, she didn't care if she was working on very easy pieces. She'd get very excited about learning a folk song, you know, that she'd grown up with. And she didn't care that she was playing it very slowly. It didn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm going off on a tangent.
No, not at all.
No, it can be very therapeutic.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Know. Absolutely. Yeah. Learning is always therapeutic, I think. I've always felt that way, no matter what it is. Unless somebody's forcing you to do, you know, calculus or something that
you
have no interest in.
Exactly.
We have to take our final break. Kathy Southworth is with us, Dean of Students and Faculty at Concord Community Music School, located on Wall Street.
Correct.
And we're coming to you.
We get the website.
Oh, yeah.
The
website is?
Yes, ccmusicschool.org.
There you go. Simple enough. WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. Welcome back to Kale and Cormier, Ken Kale, Jane Cormier. Being joined today by our guest, Kathy Southworth, Dean of Students and Faculty at Concord Community Music School, where they take students from 6 to, now we found out, over 100.
That's right.
6 months.
Getting older every time we take a break.
Yeah, right. See that? Yeah. But so you gave us your website, and I'm sure you have people that come in there and check out the facilities daily and, plan what they want to learn, what classes they want to be enrolled in, and so it's got to be very fulfilling to see, you know, the maturation of these people after they come in the first time and how they progress over the months and years.
It is, and you know, I often run the student recitals, so I always tell the parents that I have the best job because I can look out in the crowd and see students that were in the Take 3 class. And they're now playing Chopin.
Isn't that great?
Or they're singing musical theater.
Yeah.
And it's such a privilege to watch children grow up. You know, it really, really is. Yesterday I had three different, what we call orientations. When people want to take lessons at the music school, we invite them in for a free orientation because even though they want to take music lessons, they still are like, okay, what's this place like?
Yeah.
You know, what's the teacher going to be like? So we come in and we show them around. We sit down and talk and say, well, what interests you? What do you want to do? And, you know, so I've been doing orientations for young and adult voice students. And so, you know, the children will say, well, I love Moana, you know, or they love the Disney music or I love musical theater. And I'm in a show at school. And then another one will say, well, I'm in high school and I'm in the choir and I'm thinking about being a choir director. And we talk about these things and I say, oh, you know what? This teacher is a choir director. They would be perfect for you. Mm-hmm. Or this teacher is all over musical theater. Mm-hmm. You know, they're great. They'll teach you how to act and they'll teach you how to sing. And then it feels more personal.
Right.
You know, they're not just getting plugged in.
Right.
But they... you know, they realize, oh, there's these different categories of how you can learn. Mm-hmm. And yet there are some things that everybody learns.
Right.
So if I have an adult that comes in and says, I just want to make sure I have a healthy vocal technique because they sing in church a lot, which is one of the calls I had yesterday, saying, no, all of our teachers can help you with that.
Right.
And then it's just a matter of when and how. Mm-hmm. But it can be, you know, more geared towards the individual that
way. Right. That's good. That's great.
Yeah. And I'm sure, you know, as you indicated, that there are some people who come into your facility and not exactly sure which path they want to take.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you offer plenty of guidance for them. What's the instrument that you instruct the most there, that you teach the most there?
That I personally teach?
Well,
or just generally?
Just the school in general, yeah.
Yeah, so let's see. As far as I can tell, I think piano department still might be the biggest, and then probably followed by voice. But what's harder to calculate, we have a very, very large folk department, which has just, you know, exploded in the past 10 years. So David Surrett, a really renowned folk player, an absolutely wonderful person, and Liz Fiella, same thing, wonderful musician, and A CCMS alum, we always have to brag about our alums that become faculty members. But they've just grown the folk department, and it's you know, not to overuse the word epic, but when you go to a folk department recital at the music school, you have to get there early.
Yeah.
Wow. It's just packed with people, and that music just brings so much joy to people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another very big department. And then we have a wind department and a string department, violin, cello, all the, you know, the classical instruments, brass instruments.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think piano and voice, and at our school, folk happens to be particularly big. Music schools sometimes have different, you know, programs. For instance, the Manchester Community Music School has a youth orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to pull off in New Hampshire because it's we're a small state.
Totally.
And getting the right instrumentation. So that's something that they have to offer. And, you know, our school has a huge folk department.
Well, I have to jump in because that's all the time we have on this edition of Kale and Cormier. Kathy Southworth, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks,
well,
Kathy.
Thank you. It's been lovely to be here and meet both of you again.
Thank you.
And that will do it on WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. Thanks for listening.